Well, it is good to be here with you guys today. I'm super, super excited. And before we get started, I do want to say thank you to Pastor Steve and Pastor Jim for having me out here. And it is appreciated. And it's an honor to be here with you guys. And so thank you for dealing with me. You don't know what you're in store for, so I'm just going to say God bless you. Thank you for putting up with me already. And so really quick about my wife and I. My wife and I and our 11-month-old, or nearly 11-month-old son, they couldn't be here today. They wanted to be, but we actually ended up rushing our son to the hospital last night because he was struggling to breathe. And so we had him in at Cohen's last night, and we left there at about midnight. So my wife and my nearly 11-month-old son, Judah Zion, no pressure with that name for him. And so they're at home watching it online. And I'm from Norwich, England. My wife is from Franklin Square, Long Island. Exotic place. We've been in ministry for just over a decade, but we've been in ministry together for just over 7 years. We were a part of Hillsong New York. We were at Bethlehem Assembly of God on here in Long Island. And then God called my wife and I out to California, where we were on staff at a church called Crossroads Christian Church that ran about 10,000 people. And while there, we were there for just over 3 years, and God was like, I want you back in New York, and I want you to plant a church. And so that's just a quick, brief explanation about who I am and who we are. And so now we don't feel like strangers. It now doesn't feel awkward. Now you know that I'm English, and so I have the English sense of humor. And so I'm just going to ask that you guys bear with that. And if you don't understand my jokes, just laugh anyway. You know, and so if I say a joke and you're not going to laugh, I'm just going to go like this. And that's like your cue to laugh, okay? And if you're not laughing enough, then I'm just going to do that as well. And so, but I come from a Pentecostal background, and so I'm used to people interacting with me. And so I want to practice this with you guys right now. And so can everyone just shout out amen?
Amen.
Can you shout out hallelujah? Now shout out, come on, come on.
Come on.
And my personal favorite, preach it, white boy. Come on. Good job. I'm expecting to hear that all service. Don't leave me hanging, like, because now it's just going to be awkward. Like, but you guys are currently in a series called Witnesses, or Martyrs in the Greek. And we're going to continue in that series today. And the title for the message this morning is this: Make Your Dash Count. Make Your Dash Count. And my prayer is that by the end of this service, you will want to live a life that will make your dash count. But before we dive into it, let's just open up in a word of prayer. So Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now. And Lord, we thank you so much for who you are. Jesus, we thank you for everything that you're doing. We thank you for everything that you're going to do. And Lord, right now, I just pray that you will move amongst your people this morning. I pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that nothing will come out of my mouth that you do not want me to say. Lord, I pray that it will be your voice that your people hear this morning and not mine. And so, Lord, we hand everything over to you right now. And we ask that you move in a great and mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Today, we're going to look at an incredible story. It's a story about discrimination and unfair treatment that results in change taking place. And with that change comes revival. And no, it's not the story of the American Revolutionary War, because that would just be awkward being English and talking to you guys about that. Okay, that was, they don't get it. Come on, that was funny. That's where you laugh, right? And so it's not that story. It isn't that story. No, it's, by the way, actually, congratulations on your 241st year anniversary of being independent and kicking my people out. You guys have done pretty good on your own, and so thank you. Thank you for doing that. But no, it's not that story. It's a story that's in the Bible that is often looked over. It's a story that many people have read, but probably just breezed past and not really paid attention to it. But it's a story that teaches us that when lived out, it results in rapid life change. And it's a story in the book of Acts that is simply about caring for others. Because when we care for people, people see the light of Jesus in us. Now, they may not know it is Jesus, but they see something different. They see something they haven't seen before. And so if you take anything from today's message, take this. Live a life that will make your dash count. Live a life that will make your dash count. Christina and I were in Chick-fil-A. Who loves Chick-fil-A? Come on. Have the rest of you not been? There's like three people that like Chick-fil-A. If you haven't gone, go. It's incredible. Like, and so my wife and I, we were out at Chick-fil-A in California, because they're everywhere in California. And not to make you jealous, but they're everywhere in California. And so we were sitting in this Chick-fil-A. And as we're sitting there, this lady goes to the counter. And this lady has three kids with her, age between 6 months and 5 years old. And she's balancing one kid in one arm, another kid on her leg, another kid in her stroller. And as she orders her food, it comes out to more than what she realized. And so as she's hurriedly like searching in her handbag for more money, this kid's crying, the kid in the stroller's crying, the kid's pulling on her leg, and this woman is just getting flustered. The people in the line are getting annoyed and they're losing patience. And this woman, who's so embarrassed, is trying to find more money in her handbag. And in that moment, God spoke to my wife and I, and he simply said, go and pay for her. And so my wife and I get up out of our seat, and we walk forward and hand the cashier my card and say, hey, we're going to pay for her. And we just tell the lady, we're going to pay for you, and God loves you. We go back, and this lady gets her food, and she comes over. And she walks up to my wife and I, and she said, why? Why did you do that? And we simply responded, because God told us to. And with that, this lady immediately starts crying. And she starts sobbing. And through the tears, she says to my wife and I this, my life is so hard right now. That on the way here, as I was pulling into the Chick-fil-A parking lot, I gave God an ultimatum. I said to him, either take my life or show me that you love and see me. And then you and your wife walk up, pay for my food, and tell me that God loves me. Thank you. And we prayed for her and her family right there and then. And I would love to tell you that she became a Christian, but she didn't. We invited her to church. We never saw her again. And I don't share that story with you to tell you what we have done, but I share that story with you to show you how caring for someone can change someone's life. And that's exactly what happens in Acts. So turn with me to Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. It says this. It says, in those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained about the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you whom are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Just some quick background on that story. Most scholars will agree that in this context, the Hellenistic Jews were people that lived among the Gentiles and spoke the Greek language. They weren't from Greece, but they imitated the Greek habits and customs. And so they were of Jewish origin, but they weren't from natives from Judea. And so the Hebraic Jews, the Jews from the land of promise, the Jews who spoke Hebrew, considered these Jews false Jews. And because of this, this tension rose up among them. And so you have this moment where there's discrimination and unfair treatment taking place. And they bring it to the disciples, and the disciples don't ignore the need, but they fill the need by getting everyone involved, and they elevate 7 men who can now take on this responsibility and make sure that no one is being treated unfairly. And what happens is beautiful. Look again at verse 7. It says, "So the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith." The result of what happens when we care for people is what I want to focus on today. Because this impact was so huge. Why was it so huge? Because their faith became their action. See, faith must be followed by actions that are consistent with what is believed. Faith is the ability to believe, but that ability must be used and acted upon in order for faith to come alive and work. See, just having faith is not enough. Having the ability to believe is not enough. James tells us that faith without corresponding actions is lifeless and dead. James chapter 2 verse 17 says this, "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." And a better word for dead in that verse might be dormant, or inoperative, or unproductive. Actions are needed in order to bring faith alive. James chapter 2, 14 through 26 is all about action and faith together. You need both. Mother Teresa said this. She said, "Faith in action is love, and love in action is service. By transforming that faith into living acts of love, we put ourselves in contact with God Himself, with Jesus our Lord." See, faith and action are like a great American peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It's funny, right? You don't just have a peanut butter sandwich. You have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Why? Because you want the full taste. You want everything. And faith and action are the exact same thing. You need both in order to have the full taste of what God is doing. And so don't miss out on what God has for your life. Because when everyone cares, things happen. The church grows. And the greatest miracle of all is when people come to Jesus. And that's exactly what happened in Acts 6. People were cared for, their faith became their action, and the number of believers increased rapidly. Why? Because when faith and action collide, you enter the breeding ground for miracles. When faith and action collide, you enter the breeding ground for miracles. In Acts chapter 3, Peter encountered the lame beggar. And this beggar was over 40 years old. How do we know he was over 40? Because Acts chapter 4, 22 tells us he was over 40. And this beggar had been getting carried to the temple every day and placed at the gate called Beautiful, asking for money. And one day, Peter and John walk by and he asks them for money. And Peter says this, he says, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Why did that happen? Because their faith became their action. Peter entered the breeding ground for a miracle to take place, because faith and action collided. And so Ron Tranmere wrote this poem. He said this, "I knelt there at the headstone of one I loved and cried. Name with dates of birth and death were perfectly inscribed. I pondered these 2 dates and how little they both mean when compared to the tiny dash that lies there in between. The dash serves as an emblem as our time here on earth. And although small, it stands for all our years of life and worth. And our worth will be determined by how we live each day. We can fill our dash with goodness or waste our life away. To ourselves as well as others, let's be honest, kind, and true, and every day live the way we know God wants us to. May we look for opportunities to do a worthy deed and reach out with compassion to those who are in need. For if our hearts are full of love throughout our journey here, we'll be loved by all who knew us and our memory there hold dear. And when we die, these memories will bring grateful, loving tears to all whose lives were touched by the dash between our years. It's all about the dash. Make your dash count. That's why this message is called Make Your Dash Count. You want to outlive your life? Then live in such a way that you make your dash count. Live in a way that people will forever talk about your dash. The disciples and the seven chosen men in Acts 6 understood this. And they made their dash count. And here we are, 2,000 years later, still talking about their dash. And for Christina and I, we're getting ready to take our dash on a whole new journey. And you heard it earlier. We're going to be planting a church here on Long Island. We've never planted a church before. We've been pastors on Long Island. We've worked on Long Island, but now God has called us to plant a church. We're stepping out in faith and we're acting on it. Why? Because God's called us to do it, but also because we want to live our lives in a way that makes our dash count. We want people to talk about our dash, not because we're prideful, but because it means that we made an impact on the time that we were here on earth. We want our dash to matter. Long Island is in a crisis right now. Maybe you know that, maybe you don't, but let me just give you some statistics. Right now, the national average is one church for every 850 people across America. Long Island, one church for every 4,000. Less than 3% of the whole population of Long Island consider themselves evangelical Christian. Suicide is now the second highest cause of death amongst 12 to 19 year olds here on the island. The opioid epidemic is getting even worse. And last year, 2016, someone died every 15 hours of an opioid related overdose here on Long Island. That's what we're faced with. And we're stepping out in complete faith. And you guys are here doing God's work because I fully believe that God wants to change those statistics. I fully believe that God wants to do something, and you and I have an incredible opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus in such a crisis as this. God wants to use you guys in incredible ways. Long Island is an amazing place to live. Who loves living on Long Island? Seven of you, great. Like, the rest of you will probably move to Florida or North Carolina, like most New Yorkers apparently do. But Long Island is an amazing place. It's a place that you and I get to care for the oppressed, the hurting, the lost. And I fully believe that when we do that, we will see the results of Acts 6, 7, where the word of God will spread, people will rapidly come to Jesus and will change the heart of others to do the same. I fully believe that we will see revival across this island. And I love that we're all in this together as the body of believers, and you guys can be a part of our journey. We'd be honored if you prayed for us and the team. We'd be honored for you to partner with us in that way. We'd be honored if you partnered with us financially. We're trying to raise $430,000 in order to start this church. You can visit our website to see how we came up with those numbers or talk with me after service. That way, you know it's not just a number I've plucked out of the air. But the great news is this for you guys. Our church is already incorporated. So if you do decide to partner with us financially, it's a tax break for you guys. Let me hear an amen for that. You can claim it back on your taxes. Okay, well, I thought that was funnier, but never mind. Moving on. You might not come and help us physically launch the church, but you can be a part of it. And you can partner with us in such a way that will make a difference to thousands of people's lives throughout the years. And we might not be able to change the world in one day, but you and I can. We can change our community one day, one life at a time. And we can play a huge role in that happening. How? By using our dash to make a difference. D.L. Moody said this. He said, "The eyes of the world are upon us. They don't read the Bible, but they read you and me. And we talk more by our walk than in any other way. We are living epistles known and read of all men." I said to someone the other day, "That man must have been in the army or in military school." He said, "Yes, how did you know?" I said, "By the way he walks. There are some people that you can tell have been with Jesus Christ by their walk." The disciples in Acts 6 totally understood this. They knew that people were watching them. Don't forget that in this time, the church was being persecuted horrendously. And so were people watching what the disciples would do when this issue came up? Absolutely. But when the disciples took care of the issues, and the issues were no longer issues, the people were amazed. They had to have been. Because if the people weren't amazed, then it wouldn't say in Scripture, "So the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith." People were watching them. People were watching them. They were watching how they were going to respond. And I love that story. I love that the disciples responded in such a way that it caused this revival to take place. It doesn't say how many new followers of Jesus in Scripture, but personally, I believe it would have been in the thousands, if not the tens of thousands. Why? Because Jerusalem in that time was full of synagogues and Jewish priests. And they came to the faith. They came into a relationship with Jesus simply because a group of people decided that they were going to make their dash count by caring for people. And so I want to encourage all of us to do something. Because all of us have something to give. Every single one of us in here, you have a gift from God. God has given you something that he wants to use. Don't hide it. Don't hide it. Because it will be your gift. It will be your gift that will bring someone to Jesus. And it could be as simple as serving on the greeting team on a Sunday morning. But it's your smile that God uses to impact the life of a first-time guest. We don't know what problems people are coming in here carrying. But it could be your smile that for the first time someone's noticed them. Someone's recognized them. And now all of a sudden, because of your smile, their whole outlook on life is changed. You have something. God wants to use it. Don't hide it. Because it can change someone's life. And so let's not talk about the change that we want to see, but let's be the change that we want to see. Let's be the change that we want to see. Let's stop talking about all the problems and all the issues, and let's do something about it. Because all of us have something to give. All of us have something to offer. And I fully believe that when we do that, when all of us offer something and give something, just like in Acts, we're going to see revival across this island. We're going to see God's word being spread. We're going to see people come to Jesus. And it's going to inspire others to do the same. Mahatma Gandhi said this. He said, "To believe in something and not live it is dishonest. The future depends on what you do today." The future depends on what you do today. This is your dash. You're living in your dash right now. And your dash doesn't have an end date yet, which means God is still going to use you here. God hasn't called you home. There's not a beginning and an end date yet. There's just a beginning and a dash right now. And God wants to use you. You have something that God wants to show the world. Make your dash count. And as the band come up to play, what does that mean? What does it mean, make your dash count? It means this: knowing that you were made to make a difference. Knowing that you were made to make a difference and doing it. Do it. God wants to unleash you in people's lives. There's hundreds of thousands of people in our community that need you. They may not know that they need you, but God is getting ready to do something in their life, and he wants to use you to do it. And with the simple act of caring, we would see God's word being spread and revival all across this island. Make your dash count. I'll leave you with this final quote from Bill Johnson. He says this: most Christians have enough faith that they are going to heaven when they die. But God is looking for people who have enough faith to bring heaven to earth. Most Christians have enough faith that they're going to heaven when they die. But God is looking for people who have enough faith to bring heaven to earth. You don't have an end date yet at the end of your dash. You still have time to make your dash count. And so today, let's make that choice. Let's leave here today knowing, you know what? I don't have an end date yet. I'm living in my dash. And I'm going to do whatever I can to make my dash count until there is that end date. Let's make the choice to make our dash count. And I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what you came in here carrying. I don't know what burdens you have. I don't know the stresses of your life. I don't know your current situation. I don't know your circumstance. But I promise you this, Jesus does. And I promise you this, Jesus loves you. And so in a moment, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. Because he's not done with you. Maybe it's your first time here today. Welcome. Glad you're here. I want to give you a chance. I want to give you that opportunity to leave here today in a relationship with Jesus. And so with every eye closed and every head bowed and no one looking around, if that's you and you're here today, and maybe you don't know where you're going to go when that end date appears on your tombstone. Maybe you don't know where you're going. And today that can change. Because today you can enter into a relationship with Jesus. Your dash isn't over yet. Which means God has given you the opportunity to come to know him. He desires for you to know him. And so if you're here today and you want to walk out of these doors in a real relationship with Jesus, then with every eye closed and every head bowed and no one looking around, I'm going to count to three. And on the count of three, if that's you and you say, yeah, I want to invite Jesus into my life. I want a real relationship with Jesus. Then on the count of three, can you just quickly slip your hand up in the air so that I can see it? So one, this is your moment. Two, don't let the enemy rob you of your moment. Make the choice today to make your dash count. Make the choice today to be in a relationship with Jesus. Three, stick your hand up in the air. That's you. Thank you, 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 all across this place. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Come on, Come on, is there anybody else? Don't miss your moment. Don't worry about what the person next to you is going to think or say. This is your moment. Don't let the enemy rob you of your moment. Is there anybody else? Thank you for that hand. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to lead out in a prayer right now, and I want all of us to pray this prayer together. Why? Because the people that just raised their hand just made the best decision of their life, and they need to know that they are not in this journey alone. And so we're going to pray this together as one big family in support of those that just raised their hand. And so let's just pray this prayer. Just repeat this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, come on, everyone in here out loud. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. I ask you right now that you, Jesus, come into my life, dwell in my heart, and be my Lord and Savior. I repent and say sorry. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And make me completely yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Man, let's give it up for those that made that decision today.